just on a scale of 1 to 10, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you? And depending on the week that you have had, maybe it's like an 8 or a 9. Maybe you just had a new baby, or you've recently had a grandbaby, or you've gotten into a new relationship, or you got a raise, and things are going pretty great, and man, I'm feeling pretty good. Some of you on the other end, depending again on how the week's gone, maybe your new baby has turned like 3 months old and you're not sleeping at all at night. And the job has put a lot of pressure on you, and you've got this unexpected bill due, and there's stress, and you're not getting along with your spouse, and there's just all this tension. And so maybe you're on the lower end of the number. But then here's the other question that I want you to wrestle with, I want you to consider. What would it take for you to be happier? So if you were, let's just say you were at a 6, what would it take for you to move to a 7? If you were at a 2, what would it take for you to move to a 3? For some of you, again, you'd maybe say, man, if I could just get my kids to be just a little bit more independent. These kids are just wearing me out, and I love them. But I just, if they could just be a little bit more independent, I could kind of take a breath. I could kind of, you know, go to the bathroom by myself. If I could just go to the bathroom by myself, I think that would make me a pretty happy person. Maybe it's for some of you, man, if my spouse would just quit, and then you can just fill in the blank. If they could just make some changes, then I would be. If I could get a different job, if I could get a job, all of those things. Because here's the tension that all of us face, and this isn't a Christian thing, this is just a thing, that we all spend our life chasing happiness. That happiness is always that thing that seems like it's out there. And we get it for a little while. Maybe we go on the vacation, or we're getting along with our spouse, or even little things. I feel happy, and then another thing happens, and I don't feel as happy, and so I find myself chasing it. There's always, if this happened, then I would be. But here's just a little bit of pushback that I want you to consider. For most of us, this isn't for all of us, but for most of us, if your past you saw the current you, they would assume that you're happy. If your past you saw the amount of money that you're making today, your past you would assume, wow, they're on salary now. Oh, wow, they were able to get commission. Wow, they got that bonus. They must be so happy. The past you that sees the car that you drive now, or the house that you live in now, or the renovations that you made, or the kids that you have now, whatever it looks like in your life. Again, this isn't for everybody, just for most of us. The past you would look at us and say, man, they're probably happy. But we see in ourselves in our present moment, well, there is some tension that I feel. I got some things, and some things are going well, but I'm not happy. If I could just move one step further, then maybe I would be. And the challenge that we face is just this endless cycle of chasing and more and more and more. And so into this tension of there's something out there, I just don't feel fully complete, into this tension comes Jesus. And again, he's preaching his most famous sermon. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. It takes about 2 to 3 chapters, depending on how you read it, of the scripture. And Jesus is going to invite us to consider. He's going to invite the people that are listening to him to consider. Is it possible that you have spent your life chasing the wrong thing? That are we so focused on that thing out there that we miss on what Jesus wants to do inside of us? And so in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 3, that's the only one we're going to look at today, he says this, blessed are thee. Now, you and I would fill that blank with something. Blessed are the ones that got the new job, or got a different job, or got a raise at the job, or got the promotion at the job, or finally was able to retire at the job, or if they stopped having to work with that coworker, or if I, all those, we have a blank that we'd feel. If I could just get that car, then I would feel blessed. Because what we think in our mind, in our modern society, is that we assume blessed equals happy. That if you were to go on Instagram, I did it just to see, if you were to go on Instagram right now, and if you were to search hashtag blessed, tens of millions of posts are hashtag blessed, and they're hashtag blessed because I got the new car, and hashtag blessed because we went out to a steak dinner, and hashtag blessed because I got plastic surgery, and hashtag, there's all these things. We just assume that blessed equals happy, and so if Jesus is going to tell us blessed are thee, man, I'm leaning into that. If Jesus is going to tell me how to be happy, well, come on, tell me. But Jesus is into something different. Jesus is not saying happy. He's saying, the Greek word is makairos. And what Makairos, it's not happy, it's way better than that, it's way deeper than that. It's this joy that's rooted in God himself. Because here's what you know, and you don't need me to tell you this, is that happiness depends on what's happening. If things are good in my life, then man, what's happening is I'm happy. Keith, do we have that next slide? Maybe, yes. Happiness is depend on what's happening. But Makairos, this joy rooted in God himself, is, man, who is my hope in? Because if my hope is in me getting the promotion and the other person gets the promotion instead, my happiness goes out the window. And if my hope is in finally getting that new car or moving to that new neighborhood or doing that new thing and it doesn't happen, then I'm unhappy. But Jesus said, Makairos, blessed, a joy rooted in God himself are found in those, and he's gonna give us what it looks like for these next 8 weeks. And it's gonna be different than what we assume. But what Jesus is inviting me to, he's inviting you to, is the Makairos, a joy that's rooted in God himself, not rooted on the outside world, but based on who my hope is in. It is not just possible, but it's what Christians do. Like, this is not this, man, I eventually I'll achieve this. This is what discipleship looks like. Discipleship looks like studying what Jesus said Makairos is, blessed is, and pursuing that. And here's what you should know about the church. The church is not an avenue for you to learn how, like, these life hacks. And as we gather here, it's not based, the whole idea is not, here's how to live your life better. What we're trying to communicate each week, and we don't always do a very good job, but what Jesus is trying to communicate is, this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. This is what it looks like to be a disciple. This is what it looks like to day in and day out wake up and say, Jesus, where are you leading me today? And Jesus wants to lead us to Makairos. He wants to lead us to joy based on himself, based on who he is, based on the hope that we have. And so we would have blessed are, and we think, man, blessed are if I could just, but Jesus flips it on his head. He said, blessed are the poor. And we think, no, what, Jesus, no, there's no chance, because I've been poor, or I am poor, and it sure doesn't feel blessed. Like, matter of fact, it feels the opposite of blessed. It feels like every time I try to get ahead, I get knocked back, because from our perspective, poor and blessed are on two opposite sides of the spectrum. Nobody, here's what I know about you. I don't know what's on your fridge, but I know that your goals for 2025 did not include, I want to try to get more poor. That wasn't something that you really wrestled with. Man, how can I get more poor? That's not, but Jesus is not talking about financially poor. He's talking about something way, way better. He's saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. That he's saying that when you wake up every day, what you and I need to realize is, no matter how much we have at our disposal, no matter if we're the CEO or if we're the janitor or if we're somewhere in between, if we like our marriage or if we're struggling, whatever it looks like, when I wake up every day, that I need to realize that without God, I'm nothing. Without God, I'm totally, totally bankrupt. Again, some of you have been poor. Some of you maybe would consider yourself poor today. When I have been on missions trips, I've seen extreme, extreme poverty. When Brandy and I, we were in Arizona last week, a week from today, we were flying out of Arizona. And when we were in downtown Phoenix, we saw people sleeping on the ground, extreme, extreme poverty. And Jesus is not talking about, again, financial poverty, but it's this idea that people in poverty have nothing to offer. People in poverty, there's no money to pay for anything. I'm just coming and I'm at your mercy. And so here's what Jesus is saying. The blessed are those who realize that they are spiritually bankrupt without God. That if God doesn't come through for me and if God doesn't fill me, then I have nothing. It's the opposite of what our culture points us to. Our culture points us to be self-sufficient, be independent, work so that you don't have to rely on anybody, make sure that you can stand on your own two feet. And Jesus comes along and he says, that's not what a Christian does. A Christian, their maturity level is not based on how independent I am. The Christian's maturity is based on how reliant I am. How much am I leaning on to Jesus? It's the posture that says, I'm not enough. I don't have what it takes, but I know the person who does. And so the question that you have to wrestle with, if you are a Christian, if you're following Jesus, the question that you have to wrestle with is, do you live day in and day out in that posture of, Jesus, I'm nothing without you. I don't have anything to bring except my emptiness. And blessed are the poor in spirit. Why are they blessed? Well, because for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. In other words, not a future heaven, not somewhere that I go when I die, but right now, today, when I wake up tomorrow morning at the dog days of the end of the week where things are stressful, the kingdom of God is in me. He's talking about my life right now, that God has complete control of my life, that when I come to him empty, when I come to him with total bankruptcy, that I don't have anything to offer you, Jesus fills that. He fills it with wisdom, and he fills it with peace, and he fills it with joy. All of those fruits of the Spirit that you want in your life, all of those fruits of the Spirit that you know that my life would be better, it comes by not bringing myself full, saying, God, look at how good I am. Look at how good of a job I've done. It comes, God, I'm nothing without you. And so the tension that we feel and the hurdles that you and I are all going to have to cross over is if we are going to live in this posture of spiritual bankruptcy, we're going to all have to, there's at least two, and I'm sure there's more, but there was two that I could think of. Two roadblocks that keep us from doing it. The two are this, if you're taking notes, and we're going to talk about each one of them, that the two of them are material abundance and moral excellence. Material abundance and moral excellence. Those are roadblocks to being poor in spirit. Here's the first one, that material abundance. We live in the 21st century, 2025. All of us are at different economic levels, but it's easy for us to look it around at our life and say, you know what, I'm doing pretty well. I don't have to wonder if I'm going to eat. I don't have to wonder, you know, I don't maybe live in the nicest house, but I do have a place that I'm going to go tonight. And my car is really old, but most of the time it turns on. When I open up the cabinet, I'm not staring at empty shelves. For most of us, we have things. The challenge that we face, this hurdle, this material abundance that all of us live in, is that we have, the more that we have, the less we may think we need God. We've got to guard against it. Because when I have all these things at my disposal, it's just very easy for me to say, well, I can lean on that. My bank account's looking pretty good. I've got this job that's pretty secure. My relationships are good to go. And so I just lean on what I have at my disposal. And Jesus comes along and he says, it doesn't work. That you have got to wake up every day, regardless of what your bank account says, and regardless of if you live in a shack or in a mansion, regardless of what you have at your disposal, you have to wake up every day. It's not a one-time choice, it's daily. I've got to wake up every day and realize, Jesus, I'm nothing without you. I don't have anything at my disposal. I don't have anything that's going to impress you. Jesus himself said it this way, Matthew 19. He said to his disciples, that's who we are. We're trying to be disciples. Truly I tell you, it will be hard. It'll be hard, not impossible, but it will be hard for a rich person to enter to the kingdom of heaven. Remember what he just said? Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. It's the same thing. It's hard to be rich and enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter. Here's that same phrase again, the kingdom of God. Why is it hard? It's not because wealth is bad. It's not because accumulating things in and of itself is bad, but because Jesus understands what we may not have realized, that the more that I have, the less sometimes I depend on God. I depend on, well, I can write the check. Well, I could go get a different job. Look at the degrees that I have. Look at the abilities that I have. And so, again, some of us are in here thinking, well, I'm so glad I'm not wealthy. Don't have to worry about that. You know, not a big deal. That's not me. But again, here's what's true about you. You've got food at home, and you have a talents at your disposal, and you got here in a car, and you're going to go home to a place that has a roof. In relation to the rest of the world, certainly in relation to the people that Jesus is speaking to, we are extremely, extremely wealthy. And it has nothing to do with how many zeros are in our paycheck or how much our 401k has. Again, it's just that posture of our heart. And having things, again, having things doesn't make you bad. I want you to have things. Man, if you get a raise at work, I'm so excited for you. If you're able to upgrade your house, if you're able to upgrade your car, if you're able to go on a great trip, more power to you. It's just we've got to recognize when I move up in life, I'm vulnerable to pride. And pride and being poor in spirit are oil and water. They cannot cohabitate. When I am so prideful in myself that I rely on me, I can do this on my own, I fill up on myself and I'm no longer poor in spirit. And so the question, again, you just got to wrestle with it. When things are going great, do you feel desperate for God? Like we ask that question, how happy are you? If you were a 7 or an 8 or a 9, things are going great, do you still feel desperate for God? Because here's what I know about you. There's been some times in your life when life fell apart, right? And nothing that you had at your disposal could fix it. The doctor said X, and you would have emptied your whole bank account if you could have just fixed it, but it didn't work. Or your kids went crazy, and you would have done anything. You would have given away everything you had if you could have just brought them home or if you could have fixed it for them, but it didn't work. And there was a moment in your life, let me just tell you about you. There was a moment in your life that you, the only thing you had at your disposal is you cried out to God. God, I need help. You know what you were in that moment? You were poor in spirit. Because everything that you had at your disposal no longer meant anything. There was no check that I could write. There was nothing I could purchase. There was no achievement I could get to fix whatever it was. And so I just come to God with total emptiness and total desperation, saying, God, I need you. You were poor in spirit. And in that moment, the kingdom of heaven was yours. And what Jesus invites us to is you can have that same posture on your best day. You can have that same posture when you're at the 8s, the 9s, and the 10s of happiness. It's a posture of our heart that I wake up every day and say, God, I don't have anything if I don't have you. I don't have anything if you don't give me my next breath, the abilities that I have, the talents that I have, the achievements that I have. They're all because of your mercy and your grace. And so today, as I drive in my new car or as I drive in the car that barely works, as I drive to the job that I love or I drive to the job that I hate, regardless, I'm desperate for you. I need you to go before me. I need you to be in there with me. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, there's this extraordinary warning that's given to the children of Israel. They've come out of slavery. They've known what it's like to be desperate, to be totally bankrupt. And here's what it says. Be careful. And that's the word for some of us today. Be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God. Now, very few people forget the Lord their God when they're desperate. Things are brought back to your mind, but it's when I have. Be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commands, ordinances, and statutes that I'm giving you today. When you eat and when you're full and when you build beautiful houses to live in and your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold multiply and have everything else you have increases, when life is going good, be careful. Be careful. Some of you, just a word for you this morning, be careful, because life is great and things are really, you're picking up some momentum. And again, that's not bad. It just means you're vulnerable. It means you're vulnerable to leaning on you. Be careful that your heart doesn't become proud. I built this. I did this. I'm in charge here. I can stand on my own 2 feet. I can take care of this. That your heart doesn't become proud, and in that you forget the Lord your God. He's the one that's given it to you. He's the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt into the place of slavery. And I, as a pastor, I see this all the time. I see this all the time. Things will be going good in their life, and all of a sudden we'll recognize, oh, I haven't seen them in church for a little while. And we kind of check on them and say, no, things are great. Things are actually wonderful. Things are going super good. And then life kind of starts to turn the other way. And they come back. Why is it? Well, because I recognize that I'm nothing without God. The danger that we all face. The danger that we all, because again, we live in the richest society in the world. And you might not be rich in your mind, but in the world's eyes, certainly in the world that Jesus came from, you are extremely, extremely wealthy. But the danger in having so much is forgetting how much I need God. And so again, it's just your posture. Every day I wake up and I say, God, today I don't have what I need. Today, I can't make it on my own. Today, I'm not smart enough to do this. Today, I don't have the grounding that I need to sustain whatever storms of life come. I have to have you. Material abundance will keep you from being poor in spirit if you're not careful. They are not mutually exclusive, but it is difficult, Jesus said, to have material abundance and the kingdom of God. And so you've got to watch against it. You've got to guard against it. And here's the second one, moral excellence. So there's material abundance and there's moral excellence. Here's what most of you, here's what's true about most of you, probably all of you, is that you are generally, you're a good behavior, right? You do the right things and you're not cheating on your taxes and you're not cheating on your wife, and you're not lying, you follow the rules. You are a genuinely, and I'm not saying this facetiously, you are genuinely a good person. You're nice. People enjoy being around you. When there is a choice between right and wrong, more often than not, you choose the right thing, even when no one's looking. You have moral excellence, and that's dangerous. That's dangerous. It's as dangerous, maybe more dangerous, than having material abundance, because when I start trusting my own goodness instead of God's grace, I can become blind to my need for mercy. When I see myself and I compare myself to the people that don't even try, that don't even bother trying to do the right thing, and I compare myself to them, I think, I've got it going on. I'm in pretty good shape. I'm doing the right thing. Nobody even saw that I did the right thing, but I did the right thing anyway. And we fool ourselves by thinking, I'm close to God because how good of a behavior I am. I'm close to God because I'm making the right choices. I showed up to church. I read my YouVersion Bible app. I sang the songs. I gave some money. I helped the little lady across the street. I didn't lie. I don't cheat. I don't hang out with women that do. You know that old phrase, that old, you know, the crazy life that other people live? I don't live it. And we can kid ourselves and think, because of all the things that I'm doing, I'm close to God. Jesus says, no, you got to be poor in spirit. You've got to come fully empty-handed. God, I am sinful. I come to you not with my goodness, but with my filthiness. I come to you not with my righteousness, but with my sinfulness. And that's all I can bring you. That's poor in spirit. Jesus told this parable in Luke 18. He says, two men went to church. They wanted to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. And if you don't know, tax collectors were the worst of the worst. Everybody looked down on them. Everybody hated them. And the Pharisee was a religious person. Their whole job, every day the Pharisee woke up and said, my whole job is to be good. Hey, what do you do for work? I'm just good. Hey, what do you do during the day? I'm just good. I just do the right things all the time. That's what a Pharisee is. The Pharisee was standing and praying like this about himself. God, I'm so thankful that I'm not like the other people. I'm not greedy. I'm not unrighteous. I'm not adulterous. I'm not like this tax collector. Quickly, everything this Pharisee said was true. He wasn't lying. He's exactly right. He did all the right things all the time in all the right ways. He was good. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. And he's bringing God. Here's how good I am. Don't you see? But the tax collector, he tells the truth too. He stood far off, wouldn't even raise his eyes to heaven, but he kept striking his chest and saying, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. What was it? He was poor in spirit. Two people, two things that are true. One was good and one wasn't. They both came to God, one full of himself and one empty. Jesus says, I tell you, this one, the one that was poor in spirit, went down to his house justified. Justified means in right relationship with God rather than the good behavior. Now we would think that's totally opposite. I mean, surely the better you are, the closer you are to God. I mean, surely the people that do the things all the time in the right way, surely God loves them more. Jesus said, no. It's people that are not full of themselves and not rich in of themselves, but are poor in spirit that are justified, because everyone who exalts himself, everyone that points at me and says, God, look at how good I am. Look at my moral excellence. will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So here's two things that I want you to wrestle with this morning as you go in. As we talk about how do I become blessed? How do I have joy that's rooted in God himself? It's not by achieving more, but it's by recognizing I'm poor in spirit. What are roadblocks to that? Material abundance. We all have that pride in us that we have to watch out for, and moral excellence. So two things that I want to leave you with this morning, and we're going to be done. Number one, admit that nothing can satisfy me apart from God. Not comfort, not success, not abundance. There is a void that only he can fill. And so the question that you have to wrestle with, nobody can answer it for you except for you, is what I am building my life on able to sustain my life. Because if you build your life on how much money is in your bank account and how much you achieve and how far you go, eventually, here's what you know is true, eventually that's going to crumble and fall. And if you've built your whole life on that, what happens when that falls? What happens when you build your life on relationships and that person dies? What happens when you build your life on my career trajectory and you get laid off? Everything crumbles. And so Jesus invites you, be poor in spirit. Be desperate. Come empty and build your life on the kingdom of God. Second thing we've got to admit is we've got to admit that no amount of self-righteousness will make me right with God. That my, as good as a behavior, and I'm talking about me, I'm talking about a person that gets up every week, puts on a microphone, gets on a stage, opens up the scripture, and tries my best to teach other people how to follow God. I cannot morally achieve anything. I have to rely fully on the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. I cannot get to God on my own, and neither can you. Jesus talked about, and this is going to be uncomfortable for some of us, Jesus talked about more, almost more than anything, he talked about hell. Hell is that full separation from God. And do you know who hell will be full of? Hell will be full of people that were rich in moral excellence, but they weren't poor in spirit. That they did all the right things. They were awesome church attenders. They were elders at the church. They were deacons. They were pastors. And they did all the right things, but they relied on themselves instead of Jesus. So Jesus comes along and he says, you've got to be poor in spirit. The best can't do it on their own. Imagine it like this way. But imagine you got the greatest swimmers alive and you got people like me who I can swim in order that I don't drown. Okay, that's the swimming that I have. And if you line us up in California and you tell us, go swim to Hawaii, some of us are not going to hardly make it off the beach. I'm in that category. The person that has swam the farthest in open water, do you know how far they've gone? Open water swim, Guinness Book of World Records, look it up for yourself, 139 miles. That's the best of the best of the best. Do you know how far it is from California to Hawaii? About 2,400 miles. So the best of the best of the best, try as they might, they can't make it. And that's what our sin does. Our sin separates us so far from God that no matter how good I am, I can't get there. My moral excellence, again, 139 miles from 24, I did the math, not me, ChatGPT did the math. It's 5.7%. That's the best person in the world ever. Got 5% of the way there. Imagine people like me. Your and my moral excellence cannot get me to God, but Jesus can. Jesus paves the way. And it's not that you're not a good behavior, it's just that you're not a good behavior enough. For all, put me at the front of the line, have sinned, and I can't get where God wants me to go. I fall short. I can't make it. But here's what Paul said in Romans chapter 5. Go on that next slide for me. Maybe. For while we were still helpless, while we were poor in spirit, totally helpless, totally empty, totally relying on him, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Again, it's uncomfortable for some of us. Good people don't get to heaven. Good people don't make it to heaven. Forgiven people do. forgiven people. And what Jesus invites us to is not goodness, but mercy. Not trying more, but coming empty-handed, totally reliant on him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is there. Can I ask you a question? Does that describe you? Are you desperate for God? Are you relying in him, or are you trusting in yourself? Jesus made a way. The kingdom of heaven, that's what Jesus invites us to. It's not for those who try harder. It's not for those who work more, who, God, I've really got to do it on my own. And so if you're here this morning, and maybe you've got that kind of spiritual, almost spiritual amnesia, that there was a point in your life where you fully relied on God and you came to him with your sin and you came to him with your brokenness, but then life kind of went great and life has kind of progressed in a pretty smooth way and things are going pretty well. And if you recognize in yourself, there's part, and it's not that I don't love Jesus and it's not that I don't want to follow Jesus, but if I'm just honest, there I've let some pride slip into my life. I'm not as desperate as I wanted to be. I'm not as desperate as I once was. Here's what you need to do. Just come empty-handed. Just come empty-handed. Come every morning you wake up and you say, I am not enough. The kingdom of heaven, the joy and the peace and the wisdom and the mercy and the grace, everything that I need, it comes from me just receiving what you have. The kingdom of heaven is available for those that come empty. And maybe for some of you, you've been trying really hard to be good and you've been doing your best and you've tried to kick some bad habits. And let me tell you, you're doing awesome. And you're really making some progress. People have even said about you, hey, you're doing really well. Hey, you've quit drinking. Hey, I don't think that you're not doing some of those things that you used to do. I love you so much. It's not enough. It's not enough. Receive the grace of Jesus. Keep trying to be good. I mean, those things that you're doing, those are good. I'm not telling you to not do those. I'm just telling you it's not enough. And it's Jesus. It's only Jesus. It's always been Jesus. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you give us grace when we don't deserve it. Thank you that you provide for us mercy that we don't have to earn. And so, Lord, would you help us this morning I'm just asking you would shine a light on us, that you would shine a light in parts of our heart that have drifted into pride. We do love you. For many of us, we do want to serve you, but also life's been okay. And I recognize in myself, there's so many times, I'm ashamed to admit, that I rely on me instead of you. I rely on the fact that I could write the check or I could do the thing, I've got the family, and I'm not desperate for you. And so Lord, help us to become poor in spirit. Lord, I'm praying for the people that are morally excellent. They really do the right things, and they're really trying hard. Lord, I'm praying that you would shine a light on we're all sinners, and we all need grace, and you've provided it for us. And so help us to come empty-handed and receive what only you can bring. We're so grateful for the sacrifice of Jesus that did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Help us to live in that this week. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.